Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you're now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Dr. Norma Chapman. As always, at a bow our heads for our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for another great opportunity that you have given us, Father God, to go forth, Father God, in your name, that we may help someone out there in radio land, that, Father God, that's going through any situation and they feel as if there's no way out. And we come to let them know that there is a way out, Father God. And we pray that something that would be said on the radio show on today would help that listener, Father God. And all that we do and say would be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, listeners, we have another awesome show prepared for you on today. Today we have in the studio with us our special guest, Mr. Steve L. Mack. Oh, Lord, I'm having an issue. Mack Alistair. And we had him on before he did part one of Bullying. And now on today, he's going to be continuing his story part two as when he comes in live in the studio. But remember, listeners, you can join in on this awesome conversation by pressing the number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. Yes, today's topic. We'll be talking about part two of Bullying as our special guest bring us down memory lane and finish his presentation on how he was in the bullying environment and what helped him to survive that particular ordeal. Good afternoon, Mr. Steven. How are you?
Good, ma'am. How are you, Dr. Norma?
I'm fine. I'm so very happy to have you back on Facing Your Fears once again. And would you give our listeners a short bio about yourself?
Yes. Hello?
Can you tell our listeners a short bio about yourself, sir?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, my name is Steve McAllister. I am currently an ordained and licensed minister of the gospel, and I live in Branson, Missouri with my wife of this next coming up year 25 years, and we've been down here in Branson for 11 years, and I've been now a born-again Christian for the last 35 years, and I love my life now, and I love what I'm doing, and I'm currently a host of a Christian radio show called High Octane through X Ministry or X Media Group in Springfield, Missouri. You can look up xmediagroup.com and scroll down and find High Octane, and I do it every Wednesday at 10 o'clock Central, and I'd love to have you on and listen and comment as well. So that's where I'm at right now currently.
All right. We want to thank our guest for that short bio about himself. Today he's going to be continuing talking about bullying. And Mr. C, as you shared with us before, you was bullied not only at school or in your neighborhood, but you was also bullied right there in your own home. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Can you share with us just a tiny bit of that, which you gave on your presentation on part one? So, and when we go into part two, you know, in case the listeners have forgotten what you had told us, how it all began with being bullied from inside of your own home and then your neighborhood as well, and it continued at school. And it continues for a while, my understanding was, until you was real, up in age when the bullying actually stopped. Okay. Can you share with us a little bit about how it all began at home?
I sure can. Well, you know, being bullied at school and being bullied even at church, you know, that was kind of disappointing to me. But when you're surrounded by it, and you go home to get safe, you think your parents are the safety net because of what's been going on. Well, my mom, she was a prayer warrior. It wasn't my mom wasn't the problem. It was my dad. I guess because he was up in age already when I was born, the older I got, the older he got. And so because my brother and my sisters were already gone pretty much by the time I got into my teen years, it just seemed like all of a sudden I became, well, I was the only one left at home, and anything that he had a question about, he really wanted his wife, you know, my mom, to himself. And anybody that got in the way got in trouble. And so basically when he would come home from work, he would find things for me to do, chores and stuff. But at the same time, he would be bullying me and telling me that I'm no good and that I don't belong doing what I'm doing. I was doing some other things at church, and he said, you should be doing that. You're too young. And then all of a sudden he started physically, when I was real little, at one time, I forgot what I had done, but he used a hard switch and a big, thick switch. And I'm 5 years old, and I didn't know any better. And he actually whipped me with that switch all the way almost a block and a half home. And I had black and blue marks. And so part of that was the physical part. The bullying part that really hurt, you know, you've heard the saying, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. Well, you heard that at school. Well, when you hear that at home, that you think about that at home, words do hurt, and they stick with you. Wounds can heal, but your insides, your emotions, and that doesn't heal too quick. And so that's what I had to deal with throughout my elementary, even my junior high years, and then even up through my young adult life. He still continued on even after I got married. He found little things and say, well, remember what happened 10 years ago? I still can't believe you're doing that. You know, it was just hurtful words that he would tell me. And then what was really hurtful is he, one instance that I'll bring up that I did in part one is that he was mad at my sister for some reason. I think it was because she named her son a boy's name, or Jamie, which he thought was a girl's name. Long story short of that, he just thought that was ridiculous, and so nobody could talk to him or her. And so I thought that, of course, I misunderstood it somehow. And so when I called my sister and talked to her, he happened to be sharpening a lawnmower blade, and we have a phone outside in the garage, and he picked it up, and he happened to hear me on the phone talking to her, and he dropped the phone. He came storming into the house, opened up the door with the lawnmower blade, took a chunk out of the door, and then yanked the phone out from me, threw it across the room, hit the TV, and then proceeded to tell me not to put my hands behind my back. And I'm thinking, okay, well, usually the first thing you think of is when you're going to get a whipping, you're going to put your hands behind your back. Well, he never dropped the lawnmower blade. He proceeded to hit me with the lawnmower blade, and he caught the sharp edge and got my hand. I felt it wet, and I was like, what in the world? And I pulled up, my hands were up in front of me, and there was blood, and it looked like he had almost cut my hand completely off. But he didn't. Everything is fine. It left a scar for a long time. The scar is now faded, but I was in shock. I was, of course, hurting and crying. Went to my mom and told her that I want him in jail. Of course, she's like, no, 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 don't do that. You need to realize that if he goes to jail, we're done for, you know, financially. So for her sake, I went ahead and didn't say anything. And then another instance was in the neighborhood, how he made fun of the kids in the neighborhood. And he wanted me to rake the yard. Every time the kids would come around, he'd be bullying me in front of them as well and saying nasty words and foul language, and then he would tell me, well, you got to rake the yard, and I don't care if it takes you till nighttime. So I would start raking the yard while a friend of mine came over to the yard and said, hey, you want some help? And I said, sure. So as he was starting to rake the yard with me, he came out, saw what was going on, came out and broke the rake in front of her and I and said, you're on your own. You go home, Beth. You go home. You're nothing but a big fat slob anyway. And so he was actually bullying the neighborhood kids as well. And so I'm shortening that up because I just want people to know that, you know, you're worth something. You are worth everything to God. And God made you who you are for a reason. And just because you can't do certain things for a parent doesn't mean that you can't do it. You might not do it in front of them, but God gave you the will to do it if you want to.
Right. That was part one of what Mr. Stephen had shared with us. What month was you on the show, Mr. Stephen, you remember? I know it was months back.
I think August, September.
Yeah. So moving forward, fast forwarding into part two, because we only have a half an hour on the show today. I know I booked it for an hour, but we're going to only do a half an hour on today. So moving forward,
sure,
to part two of bullying, what brought about a change? You wrote me in your, and in reading, you said you had finally made a change, and you told yourself that you were more than what others thought of you. Can you share that with our listeners on today? What brought about the change? What did you do?
Well, I knew I needed to change, and I was trying to make my dad proud. And my nephew had joined the Navy, and he was always so grateful for the service because he, too, was in the service. And so my nephew was sitting down with my dad and I and telling us all about the Navy and what the Navy did for him and what's going on. So I thought, you know, I think I need to go ahead and I want to serve my country as well, and I want to join the Navy. It sounds like something that I need to do. And I told my dad, I said, I want to join the Navy. I want to join the military because I want to become somebody. And, of course, the only thing he said was, well, you do what you need to do. And he never really said, I'm sorry. He never really said he was sorry for everything that he did. He said, well, you just go ahead and you do that. I said, and I want to make you proud. And all he said was, okay. So I went ahead and joined the military. And once I raised my hand and said that I do and I want to defend the country and defend the Constitution, I felt really good about myself saying, well, finally, I'm doing something that I want to do, and I'm going to make myself, my dad proud, make myself proud. And but most of all, I wanted to make myself proud so that I can tell my dad, I did something, and I can do this, and I can do that. So I went ahead and joined the military in during the what they call the military entrance processing, entry, which is MEPS for short. I went through examination all day long, and they came up with something they thought was wrong, and they didn't red flag it, but they wanted to put a hold on my entry into the military. And they discovered, oh, well, he's just got a back problem. You know, let him slide. Everybody has a little back problem. Well, it was obviously much more than that. And so through boot camp, I was having some issues, some physical issues. And even the doctors in the military in the sick bay was saying, there's something here that's not quite right. I don't know why you even got as far as you did into the military here in boot camp. And so I was concerned. And so nothing was ever said about that. The rest of the time, they took care of me. But my shipmates knew that there was something wrong. the people in my company. So the company commanders went ahead and told them to go ahead and help me. They didn't baby me. They just helped me along because they knew something was wrong. And so after that, I went to got to graduation, and I stood at attention for, I had to stand at attention for 2 hours. And I was really scared. I'm thinking, man, I really didn't want to do this to hurt my dad, because then I would have felt like a failure to him. And then I would have thought, oh, man, here we're, I know I'm going to get it when I get home if anything happens. Well, I graduated from boot camp, but I just thank the Lord. I actually prayed, and of course I was crying. My mom, by the way, my mom and dad were there at the graduation. I had my sisters, and that was the first time we were all together in quite a while. And so my dad actually said, I'm very proud of you, son. Let's go eat. And so we all went out and ate. Well, later on, after I went through boot camp, I got into the Navy. I started. I got shipped over to San Diego to be on a ship. Well, obviously, I didn't stay on the ship very long. I started having problems there, major problems. And so, therefore, with long story short of that, I found out months later, a few months later, into being in the Navy there, on ship, that the doctor there at the Naval Hospital told me that I had cerebral palsy. Now, cerebral palsy is a birth defect. And obviously, if you have cerebral palsy, you can't get into the military. Well, there was ways of them finding out. I guess they just let it slip or something. I'm not sure exactly why they did what they did, but they told me now that they should have caught that. You should have never went in. But I said, well, maybe God had me go into the military for a reason. I don't know. But I was trying to make my dad proud up until that point.
Yeah, Mr. Steve, let me ask you. Was there any bullying there in the military once you joined the military? Was you bullied with that? Anyone there was bullying you or felt as if you felt uncomfortable?
Okay.
Or?
Right. Yeah. Now, when I was in the regular Navy, not boot camp, boot camp was fine other than the company commanders doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to rattle your cages just, you know, for self-discipline. So I knew I had to go through all that. But there was no bullying there. I didn't get any bullying until I got into the regular Navy, until I got into another unit, transpersonal unit, you know, which is off the ship. I went into a medical holding place where this chief said that, oh, no, you know, you're just doing this because you don't want to stay in the Navy. You're just, so he started making fun of me, this chief. And so I'm like, oh man, here we go again. So, I did get a little bit of bullying, not as bad as it was when I was at home, obviously, but there was some light verbal, I call them light verbal, but any type of bullying is bullying, and whether it's light or heavy. And so I didn't pay any attention to that. I just said, sir, I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm here to serve my country, and I'm here to do what I need to do to, and I'm here to, I'm not here to show off. And so after that, he stopped. He actually did stop bullying me, and he apologized before I left the Navy. And he shook my hand, and he said, I'm so sorry. So he did apologize for all that. So that's the first time anybody apologized for bullying me,
okay,
and shook my hand, and he said he was proud of what I did.
Yes. Let me ask you, because it's getting, you know, it's getting, we only have a half an hour today. So what is life like now for you? Once you Army,
okay,
once
go
you
ahead.
Went in the Navy, came out the Navy, you said in your bio that you're married and you have a ministry, and what makes much better for you now? Did you begin to feel better? I'm asking so you can, you know, answer, because all at one time. Was it before you found Christ, or, you know, you saved after?
Right.
sacrifice, or you know, what period did you feel relieved and know that life was better for you?
Actually, thank you. I felt better in the Navy. While I was in the Navy, I was going to church, and I thought I was a Christian, but obviously there was a lot of things that happened in my life during the military that I'm now ashamed of doing. But I just thought, well, you know, maybe I'm not a Christian. All this time I'm thinking I was. So November, it'll be 35 years next week that it'll be my 35th birthday, spiritual birthday. And so I knelt, you know, at the foot of the cross in front of, you know, in our church. And I just said, and I cried and I said, Lord, I thought I was a Christian, but apparently I'm not. I really need to have you in my life. And as soon as I got relieved of that, or I mean, as soon as I prayed and I felt so relieved, I got baptized and I was one happy guy. And it didn't matter. Satan could throw darts and I could throw up my shield and throw them off and not have a care in the world. I was that relieved. And then I met my wife, after I came home from the military, a few weeks after I got home, I met Rachel, and we started dating, and I knew that she was the one for me. So on New Year's Eve, 1996, is when I asked her to marry me at church just before midnight. And so from that point on, she's been the love of my life, and she's helped me through so many ups and downs. And I had flashbacks a lot of times. Of what happened in my bullying years, but she was always there to wrap her arms around me and just say, Jesus loves you, so do I, there's nothing to fear. And so I love her for that. And of course, then I got involved in ministry work, and I was involved with kids ministry and youth ministry for 20 plus years alongside my wife. And that really, I mean, life was just so much easier. And I'm not saying that becoming a Christian is a bed of roses, for sure. But I'll tell you what, the bullying years, I go out and I try to go, like on this radio show, I try to talk to people and teach people and say, hey, you know what? You might have been bullied, but you're bigger than that. God's got a plan for your life. And that's how I run my radio show as well. I tell people on my radio show all the time that same thing. And I just praise the Lord for what he's done in my life and how he brought Rachel into my life.
Wonderful. Now, I didn't hear you. You might have mentioned it, but you have children? Do you have any children?
No, ma'am. Actually, my wife couldn't give birth to the children, but we did end up, she was pregnant, and we've lost four kids now. So the four kids
okay.
are in heaven.
Yeah. I was just wondering, because my question would have been what it was like with your children, but since you didn't raise any kids, it was just a question that I wanted to ask. So what it's like now when you're around, other than your father, was there anyone else in your family, a cousin or anyone else that bullied you or made you feel belittled or made you feel that you wasn't wanted or wasn't cared for besides your father?
Well, my brother did a little bit. My brother did bully me because he said, you're just a young kid. You don't know any better. But, you know, brothers and sisters can tease each other, and he just had fun doing what he did, you know, and it was light stuff. It was nothing that was really hurtful other than teasing. It was my dad that was really the real hurtful name calling in that. So my sisters were good. In fact, my sister said that if there was anything that we had said or done to hurt you, you let us know. Because they kind of teared up when they heard about my story. Oh, and I do want to say I am a co-author of a book coming out November 29th called Step Up and Speak Out by Misty Lane. I don't know if she's ever been on your show, but
oh, yes,
she
Lane,
wrote a
very good friend. Her and I are very good friends. As a matter of fact, she just sent me a beautiful picture of her newest grandbaby, the new baby that was born.
Right. I called her Grandma. Anyway,
yeah.
So she did a collab, huh?
Her and I speak all the time. Now we're about to do a big show before the end of the year with some of our friends around different states, and it's going to be about how to bring about love and unity in the families. Because, you know, there's
right.
Our kids. Like, for instance, your case, you know, you can feel unwanted, or you can feel that you're not loved enough, you know. So what could bring families more close together? And when there's unity, you know, there's strength. And try to strengthen some of the families that's going through since the pandemic and other obstacles that they struggle with daily, and uniting with their children to try to help the kids be better than to just go out there and try to find love in all the wrong places, or try to get involved with someone that will lead them down the wrong path. So that's a show we talk about doing between now and December, Mr. Stephen. So, you know, I'm very happy to hear that, you know, you're about to be a co-author. Now, I think you said once to me once before about the book that you're going to be a co-author. And I'm really, you know, waiting to read that book. And I really wish you all the joy and all the love that you can find, not only just there with your wife, but in general, you know, as you travel and begin to talk with people, minister to people around the world on your show. You know, as life brings us all for, you know, it takes us up and it brings us down. But through it all, we know that life wasn't meant to be 100% perfect, because he said there will be trials and tribulations in our life. But learning how to deal with them, and I'm so proud of you and all the accomplishments that you have accumulated from a child up until where you are today, that God has given you strength to reach out and talk about it and to share your story with others. As we're about to close the show, what would you like to say to our listeners? And listeners, you do have time to press that number one if you have any questions, comments. I just want to share your thoughts on today's topic. If you want to say something, Mr. Steve, press the number one on your phone. At that time, I can bring you live into the studio. But we have no callers on today, Mr. Steve, so you have a couple of minutes to do your closing. What you want to share with our listeners in your closing statement to them?
Sure. You know, folks, the Lord is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he is my King of Kings. And I just want to know that if you're having struggles in your life and you're having bullying, whether it be at church, at home, wherever, that if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you could know him today, and you can know that he's closer than a brother, and he is there with open arms to wrap his arms around you and take you as his own. And that's what he did in my life. And don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not worth it, because you are. God made you who you are for a reason, and you just need to take that and just say, you know what, I'm better than what anybody else has told me. I know I can do this, and with God's strength, I know I can do this too, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I trust in you, Lord. And remember, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto the own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So trust in the Lord and let him direct your path. Don't try to do it on your own, and he'll direct you in the path that you need to go.
Amen. There you have it, listeners. I want to thank our special guest, Mr. Stephen, for coming on today, for being a part of Facing Your Fears once more and again. And I want to say to you, keep the faith, Mr. Stephen, and know that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And there's a lot of people out there waiting to share love as well as receive love, okay? So
okay.
I want you to stay that fast and unremovable. I know you're going to continue in your ministry. And remember that Norma Chapman is here for you if you need to call me at any time, or we're going to stay, you're my Facebook friend, so we're going to stay connected there on Facebook, and I'll be looking in on you from time to time, okay? Bless your wife that's there
right
with you, and I pray God will continue to give you strength to go down the path, to continue the path that he has you on. And don't worry about Stephen, because we all had some point feel that we let down in some ways, and some people may love us or show us more love differently than others, you know, but that's lack of understanding, and just count it all joy. That's all I can take you today is count it all joy. All right, listeners, we're coming to the end of our show on today. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in on Facing Your Fears on today. And remember, if you care to be a guest on Facing Your Fears, you can reach me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com, or just go to my Facebook page, Facing Your Fears, What Faith Can Do to Be Friends in Christ, or just my personal page, Norma Chapman. With that being said, may God bless you and keep you. You have a great remaining of your afternoon, Mr. Steve, and tell your wife hello for me, okay?
I sure will.
And this is the end of the show for today. Goodbye, everyone.